Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you on this Thanksgiving Eve. We'd love to hear from you on this particular day, the day before Thanksgiving at the top of the hour, 3. Well, you're hearing the Basic Gospel program live, and we can speak directly with you if you'll call right now at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing a delayed broadcast, well, you can still call that same number with your question, and we'll be glad to get an answer to you on the air as soon as possible. So in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks. Thanks, Bob. As you said, Dr. Andrew Farley is with us today. Andrew, welcome again. We're so glad to have you with us, and I'm just so thankful for you, my friend.
Well, me too, Bob. Thankful for you guys, and always enjoy being here with you.
Well, let's get started. Tomorrow is Thanksgiving. We've been talking about thankfulness, gratitude this week. We've shared some passages. Today, I just want to read this out of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. It says, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift." And when you think about faith, you have to think about thankfulness. You have to think about gratitude. It's like thankfulness is the substance of faith. It's interesting when you look at the Greek word for grace, it's charis, and when you look at the Greek word for thankfulness, it's eucharisteo, and charis is right there in the middle. So it's like the grace of God produces this thankfulness in our hearts, which we describe as faith, as the Word of God describes as faith. It's a pretty powerful reality, isn't it, Andrew?
Yeah, and you know, for those out there who are thinking, well, I just don't know what I'm really thankful for this Thanksgiving, or, you know, I even as a Christian, I just struggle to come up with a thankful heart or a thankful attitude. And what I would say on that is, in those cases, Bob, what we really need is more truth, because as our mind is filled with truth, the automatic response to that is going to be this gratefulness to God. So it's not about a plastic smile or mustering up enough thankfulness or trying to, you know, sort of name it and claim it through doing enough thanking. What we're really talking about here is if you're at a place where you're wanting to be more grateful and more thankful and more positive, well, the answer to that is to fuel up. I mean, fuel up on God's grace, get to know what Jesus Christ has done for you. I mean, what's not to like when your mind is really, really set on your sins being taken away and you being totally accepted in the Beloved, living under grace with God's face always towards you, being unified with Him as close as you can get, all as a free gift? I mean, Bob, when we set our minds on these truths, it does bring a thankfulness that wells up within us. So we don't have to worry about fake it till you make it or drumming up some thankfulness out of nowhere. I mean, this is truth-driven, and that's why we're always talking about these essential truths.
Absolutely. And what I say all the time, by grace through faith in Jesus. I mean, Paul wrote that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. And that's how we enter the Christian life. That's how we live the Christian life, by grace through faith. And this thankfulness is that expression of faith, and it's genuine, it's real, it's authentic. It comes from the heart. Like you said, we don't have to try to pretend to be thankful when we're responding to the truth of God's love and grace. Thankfulness is produced in our hearts. It's just part of the reality of this new life that we have in Christ. And it's a wonderful, wonderful experience. And, you know, we talked about on Monday how Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. He said, "This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus, to give thanks in all circumstances." Why? Because in all circumstances, we're living in the grace of God. We have both feet planted in the grace of God. God's face is always toward us. And so as we respond to that truth, we can experience genuine thankfulness in the midst of any circumstance. And that opens our minds to really see the circumstance from God's perspective. So we're talking about a real quality of life that we as believers can experience that we don't see out there in the world, aren't we?
Yeah, in fact, you know, speaking of Romans and the Apostle Paul, I mean, you know, it says they didn't honor God in Romans 1. They didn't give thanks. They didn't honor him as the Lord. They didn't give thanks, and their foolish heart was darkened. That's unbelievers. And then you pop over to Romans 6, and it says, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. So you see the lack of thankfulness, and quite frankly, what really can they give thanks for? They've, as unbelievers, rebelled against God, said no to the Savior. But here we are, immersed in grace, with grace before us and behind us and on our left and right and beneath us, supporting us. I mean, we are in this grace in which we stand, Paul says. And so here he's saying, thanks be to God that we're not in slavery anymore. Thanks be to God that we're free. Thanks be to God that we can be ourselves and express Jesus at the same time because we've got an obedient heart now. I mean, there's a lot to be thankful for, but what I would say is, again, maybe you out there, you don't find yourself to have that bubbly personality or that positive attitude all the time. Well, what's the answer here? Not to feel guilty about your lack of thankfulness, but instead to do exactly what Paul does. Think of all the reasons, the God-given, Christ-driven reasons that we can give thanks. And, you know, that's what's being talked about here, Bob. Thanks to God that we have obedient hearts.
Absolutely.
Well, tomorrow, of course, is Thanksgiving Day in the United States. I know our Canadian listeners celebrated Thanksgiving in early October, but here in the U.S., tomorrow, of course, is the big day, and all of us here at Basic Gospel join together with all of you and the hope of a joyous celebration with your family and friends. God has so richly blessed this country, and this day of celebration, tomorrow, of course, is set aside by national decree to give thanks for his enormous blessings. It's also a time to remember that there are countless others who still need to hear of God's love and provision in Jesus Christ. Now, we pray, of course, that it will be a part of your giving of thanks to make your gift so that others might live in the glorious grace of the one who loved us and gave himself for us. We hope you'll support this work of grace right now called Basic Gospel. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. Well, again, the lines are open at 844-322-2742. If you're hearing the live broadcast, you can speak directly with us right now. Again, 844-322-2742. In the meantime, guys, we had this question that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi. My question is about the first Passover. When they were doing the Passover feast, it said for them that they must eat their meal quickly and be ready as if going on a trip with their walking stick in their hand and their sandals on. And I was going over this with my 9-year-old daughter, and we wondered if there's a symbolism of that part of it for the New Testament. We had done a little Passover meal, my daughter and I, and we had to be ready to go. And I just wondered if there's a symbolism that I can share with her. Thank you.
That's an interesting question, and the passage, Andrew, that she's referring to is back in Exodus 12, and it's verse 11. It says, in this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. And I think when we look at the context, we look at where this is in the story of the Passover, we see that God is about to send his final judgment on the Egyptians. And he, you know, the firstborn is going to die of all the Egyptians. Why? Because they don't have the blood on the door and the lintel and that sort of thing. So this is about to happen. And once it happens, Pharaoh is going to get flustered and frustrated and mad and all of that. And he's going to look at Moses and said, get out of here, get your people and go. So God knew that was going to happen, and so he wanted to prepare the Israelites for that moment so that when Pharaoh said go, they're ready and they can leave Egypt. They can escape from bondage into freedom. So that's what this is all about. And as far as the Passover is concerned, when you look at the story, you look at kind of the new life you and I experience. We were in bondage to sin and death, and through faith in Jesus Christ, we had been made ready to experience a new life, a life of freedom through faith in Jesus. So that's what this story is all about. And I think God was just preparing them for this new life of freedom that was soon to be theirs that very night.
Yes, yeah, I think there's a hint of symbolism in that aspect. I mean, certainly they were under the bondage of Pharaoh, and Moses had said, let us go, let us get out of here. In fact, implored him various times, and Pharaoh basically refused. And so God brought these plagues, and the final plague was this idea of the firstborn dying in Egypt. And, you know, if we want to talk about symbolism, the blood on the doorposts clearly were protected by the blood of Jesus. And clearly we're brought out of a slavery or a bondage, much like the Israelites were. I mean, even the book of Hebrews picks up this theme, and it says, don't be like your forefathers who wouldn't enter into the promised land. They had escaped Egypt. They were ready to enjoy an abundance, but they wouldn't enter into it by faith. They wouldn't believe God. They wouldn't reap the benefits. And so they wandered for 40 years in a spiritual wilderness. So whether it's escaping the bondage of Pharaoh or entering into the promised land, spiritually speaking, I mean, we have a lot of symbolism with Israel that we now can think about as our lives in Christ continue. We left a bondage. We entered into Jesus Christ, a very promised land, a land full of promises. And we fortunately avoided, for most of us at least, avoided 40 years of a spiritual wilderness. Here we are in Christ with tons to thank God for today.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Well, we hope that helps, and we certainly appreciate the call on that. And I love that you're sitting down with your daughter and you're reading the Word of God with her and you're asking questions. It's always important to ask questions. And I think through those questions, the Spirit of God is really going to open up your heart and mind and give you the understanding of what this is all about. Yeah. So good for you.
Indeed. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley is joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thanks for being with us. 844-322-2742. That's the number to call if you'd like to come into the studio and speak directly with us. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, we had this call also that came in off hours. Let's listen.
Hi, Bob. This is Jim. I was listening to your program last week, and I heard it didn't say that we're required to be baptized, but I'm reading in Acts chapter 10 down where Peter went to the Roman army officer's home, and after they had received the Spirit, Peter asked, so he gave orders for them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Peter said that. So I was just wondering if you could touch on that. I'll be listening. Thanks. Bye.
Well, Jim, thanks for that question.
We're glad you're
going to be listening. And Andrew, it's kind of interesting when you look at how this unfolds.
Yeah.
Peter is in a Gentile house. He's not supposed to be there, but he's compelled by the love of God to take the message of Christ to these Gentiles. They listen, and at the very end it says to him, all the prophets bear witness, that's Jesus, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And while Peter was saying this, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening, and they were made alive together with Christ, and they began to speak in tongues. Peter was witnessing all of this, and his response to it was, hey, let's get baptized. So the water baptism didn't bring about any of that, did it?
Right, and I think that's the key ingredient. Yes. Here. We have to understand that, you know, there was a salvation experience, an indwelling of God's Spirit long before the H2O shows up on the scene. And so, you know, Peter's exact words are, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. He's not saying that they must be baptized in order to be saved. He's saying, what stands in their way? These are Gentiles. Honestly, it's shocking to me. Peter would be thinking, shocking that they receive the Spirit just as we Jews have. So, given that they're saved, given that they're indwelt, what prevents them from having a birthday party? And that's exactly what baptism is like. A birthday party doesn't mean you're being born. It means you're celebrating a birth that already took place. Just like an anniversary doesn't mean you're getting married. It means you're celebrating a union that's already taken place. And likewise, that's what baptism is. It is throwing a party, celebrating the fact that you are in Christ, immersed in Jesus, crucified, buried, and raised to newness of life. So as far as this baptism issue goes, guys, I mean, Paul said it very clearly. God did not send me to baptize. He sent me to preach the gospel. And the reason that Paul said that is because there's only one thing that saves, and that is the sharing of the good news of the gospel. That's what saves people, not being dunked or sprinkled with water. As good as that is, as fun as that is, as important as that is, just like celebrating the Lord's Supper. Would we say that's important? Yes, we would. Would we say that it saves people? No, we wouldn't. It is done in remembrance of Him, and baptism is the same way.
Absolutely. Great insight there, Andrew.
Absolutely. Well, it is the Thanksgiving Eve edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. We're glad you're with us. There's still time on the clock. If you'd like to get your question to us, call right now, 844-322-2742.
Well, earlier in the broadcast, Bob, we were talking about thankfulness, gratitude, and that truth is the driver of that. And if we want to become more thankful, we need to know the truth of the gospel. And when we understand and receive that truth, thankfulness is going to be a byproduct. Mm-hmm. Thankfulness is just going to grow in our hearts, and we're going to express that in our day-to-day lives. Well, we have a fantastic resource this month that can produce that kind of thankfulness in the heart. It's our CD series called Simply Grace, 6 messages that take a deep dive into the Word of God to show the wonders and the amazement of God's grace, exactly what He's brought to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And as you listen, as you go into these various passages that we cover, and we cover a bunch, I think as you just respond to that grace, you're going to see this growing sense of thankfulness develop in your heart. We want to send that to you. It's available for a gift this month, the Basic Gospel. And this is the season of generosity. This is the season of giving. And we're asking you to be generous this month so that we can continue to get this grace of God out to as many people as possible. And in so doing, have people to respond just as those in Corinth did. Thank God for His inexpressible gift.
Absolutely. Well, you can make your gift right now or anytime, as a matter of fact, at basicgospel.net, a prominent donate link right there on the homepage, again at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Detroit and talk with Elizabeth, listening to us on WMUZ. Hi, Elizabeth.
That's my middle name. I didn't want to get my first name. How can I be thankful when two of my children committed suicide? One about 7 years ago, and another one about 15 years ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that, Elizabeth. Let me share a few thoughts on that. I mean, there's not going to be a 5-minute answer that makes all your pain go away. I've had a lot of death in my own family, Elizabeth. I had a brother-in-law who, a half-brother who committed suicide, another that died of a drug overdose, another that died of AIDS. I had my dad. I lost him at an early age. I mean, our family, like yours, has just been plagued with physical death, and it can certainly lead us to a place of real despair if we're not careful about the thoughts that we take in. And my heart goes out to you, my friend. I just want to say that, you know, we have to ultimately fall back on the big love of God for us and for our loved ones. We don't know their destiny sometimes. In my case, I didn't know if they were believers or not. But I do know that God's heart is big. And at the moment that anyone decides they want Jesus, well, my goodness, they're in a better place than we are. They spend eternity with him. And, you know, we should be jealous of them. And instead of just missing them, we can be jealous of the good place that they are, resting in the arms of the Father and enjoying Jesus like we can't imagine, seeing God face to face. And if they weren't saved, you know what? The Bible says don't make that call. It says don't say in your heart, you know, who is going to ascend and who is going to descend. Don't make that call, because here's the truth. That someone with 10 seconds left in their lives, even in their own mind, silently to themselves, they could very well cry out to their Savior, knowing that they need God, that they need Jesus, that they don't understand everything, that they're not a master of theology, but they need Jesus. And sometimes when people are in desperate pain and need serious help, they cry out to God in a way that they never have before. So I would never, ever want to assume the worst. I would want to assume the best.
Tell you,
yes.
Both of them jumped in the river, and one of them, they only could find the head, not the body.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, you know, that is a horrible thing for a mother to experience, for anyone to experience. I can't imagine it. You know, Bob, here she is calling in with a really serious circumstance, with some traumatic things that have happened. Is there something we could do for her and send her a resource?
Yeah, we will send her some resources and certainly continue the journey with her.
No, because I live in a senior place and they don't give me my mail.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Let me put you on hold and we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
And we do want you to know that you can call us anytime and just talk. And we would love to talk with you and just again point you to the love of Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. And our prayer for you, Elizabeth, is that his compassion will comfort you, will strengthen you, will point your eyes toward him. You know, as the writer of Hebrews says, let's keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's where we want to help point your eyes. So, Elizabeth, let me put you on hold, and we'll see what we can do to help out. Okay? You hang on. Well, let's quickly go to Dallas, Texas, and talk with Frank, listening to us on The Word. Hi, Frank.
Hello. Thank you, guys, for taking my call. I love listening to you, and thank you for spreading the gospel the way you do.
Well, thanks, Frank.
My question is, so tomorrow is Thanksgiving. How, as believers, do we sort of handle the awkward conversation about religion and politics around the Thanksgiving dinner table? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, Bob, I think we always put the focus on our own relationship with Christ in those cases. Talk about Jesus, what he means to us personally, not trying to fix everybody at the table. Sometimes they're more worried about the fixins on the table than they are being fixed at the table. So just sharing the good news of Jesus and what he means to us personally, that's the focus.
Yeah, and just have a conversation. Just ask some questions, get into a dialogue, and see where it leads. So, Frank, thanks so much for your call, and happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, thanks to everybody who called, and we appreciate hearing from you. Well, friends, thank you for joining us for this Thanksgiving Eve edition of Basic Gospel. If you have questions for us, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. Again, that's 844-322-2742, or send an email to bob@basicgospel.net. Remember that one of the best ways of expressing your thanks to God for the blessings in your life is to give. In order to help Basic Gospel take this message of grace and Jesus Christ to others who need to hear, just like you and I have, there's no better time to give than this Thanksgiving. We hope you'll join us by making your gift today at BasicGospel.net. Just click the link on the homepage. Again, that's at BasicGospel.net. Well, Dr. Farley, thanks for being with us today, and happy Thanksgiving to you and Catherine and Gavin.
Thank you. Grateful for you guys.
Yes, indeed. Well, and for all of us at Basic Gospel, this Basic Gospel Ministry team, for Vivian Gray, for Kim Groff, for Greg Park and Stephen Simon, for Michelle Lister, for Coleman and Bob the Christophers, I'm Bob Davis wishing you all a very happy and joy-filled Thanksgiving. And may our God continue to bless these United States of America.